Joseon Church. Morning. Morning. Good morning, Zoom. Well, I guess I don't know why I'm looking at the camera. You can't see me anyways. Let us turn to Mark 15, 33 to 39. So for the kids on Fridays, we've been looking at our attitudes towards our place of worship. And so this is kind of part of that. And part of this idea came from the fact that as I was a kid, I was really struck by the sign at school that I went to a private Christian school. I went to a Christian school in middle school, and then so we would have chapel once a week, and what the sign that leads to the chapel would say, "Enter with reverence." As a reference to us going to our chapel time. And so since I was in middle school, that was something that I was struck by. And so that's kind of the attitude and the thought behind doing a little series with the youth on the way that we worship and our attitudes to the places that we worship. So Mark 15, 33 to 39. "And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' And some of the bystanders hearing it said, 'Behold, he is calling Elijah.' And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, 'Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was a son of God.'" Let's pray. Abba, Father God, we thank you for a chance to come to your house this morning to worship, to pray, to spend a little time with you before we get on with the rest of our day. Whether we're at home or whether in the sanctuary, God, we trust that you will join us here today. So speak, and yeah, get us ready. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I presented this to the kids a week after I have explained to them that, well, we talked about the high priest and the Holy of Holies, and then also this idea of the Day of the Atonement. And so this idea of the veil that was blocking kind of the center portion of the temple with the Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God is and where the high priest would go about and do their main sacrifice on the Day of Atonement in the Jewish calendar. And so, you know, the question that I had for them is, what is holiness, right? And so the basic definition of holiness is separated or distinct from, right? Good or bad is not, you know, the main thing to do with it. The definition emphasis is on the fact that it is distinct and from the ordinary, doesn't have to be good or bad. So if you think about the worst meal you've ever had, you would consider that holy because it is distinctly and separated from there it is. Okay. If you think about the worst meal you've ever had, that would be considered holy because it is distinctly bad and separated from all the other decent meals that you may have had. Now, all jokes aside, and let's just be real and honest here, when we're talking about holiness here at church, we're talking about God's holiness, right? And so when we're talking about God's holiness, and we kind of start combining the, you know, the basic, the little h, I guess, of the word holy, with God's holiness, we're talking about how God is separated from all things that are not of God. God's whole infinite being is above the ordinary and the typical. He is unique. No one here is in the same class as God. And so in our context, other words we typically associate with God's holiness is things like purity, perfection, sinlessness, righteousness, just, which for us ordinary people, we are not. We are not pure, and we are most definitely not perfect. No one is any of these things. We may get close to it, possibly at some point in our life, but it takes one blemish to ruin what holiness is in the eyes of God. And so, you know, we can't talk about holiness without the distinct and holy cheese that is Swiss cheese, right? And so Swiss cheese, the distinct feature of Swiss cheese are the holes, right? And so it's a holy cheese because it is both holy, distinct, and holy because of the holes. And so, I mean, I brought it up as a joke to the kids, but it actually represents something. It works as an illustration here. And so Swiss cheese, like I said, the distinction is the holes, right? When you think of Swiss cheese, you think of the holes, whether it's sliced or a block, right? Now, the reason for these holes is that gas is formed during the cheese-making process. In recent years, researchers have found that it is due to tiny little hay particles that would fall in the milk in which the cheese would be made from. This would then allow gas to form and hence, therefore, grow these holes. In other words, these holes were made because of impurities in the milk, right? And so they're saying that today, because the cheese-making process is a lot more, you know, I guess, in a factory, so there's less of these hay particles into the milk, hence, therefore, you're not getting as big of holes inside of Swiss cheese. And so So that leads us back to the passage today, the tearing of the veil during Christ's crucifixion. To the temple we go. The veil was a barrier that separated the Holy of Holies, where God dwells, to the holy place where priests are allowed. It is to mark the physical separation between the clean and the unclean, between God and his people. Even as the presence of God was with the Israelites, this separation was always part of God's relationship with the Israelites, going as far back as Exodus and Moses and all of that. The holiness of God had to be separated from his people. The Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, can only be entered on the Day of Atonement and only for prayer. And it's specifically for atonement or confession, right? You would have to do sacrifice and only by the high priest. So no like lower level priest would be allowed, but only the high priest would be the only one eligible to make the sacrifice on that day and also all the rituals, right? And if you read through Leviticus, you would then read all the different things that the high priest would have to do. And even in the process of doing the sacrifice, they would have to follow certain process and order of things. And so over 1,000 years, this was proper worship. Right? The high priest, and only the high priest, would make the sacrifice to God on this one day out of the whole Jewish calendar for Israel's shortcomings as a nation. Access was extremely restricted and emphasized. There was a defined separation between God and his people. But then, as Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, as narrated in Mark and Matthew, the veil was torn from the top to bottom. Right? We'll go back to the verse 37 to 38. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now, this signifies the separation between God was no more. Right? Now, contextually speaking, the chief priest at that time was not a believer of Jesus. And for him, he probably thought that this was, you know, just an annoying thing. Now that the veil is torn, I got to go out and make a new one. You know, but the physical restrictions were still in place if you follow, you know, the traditional Jewish beliefs here. But what these physical restrictions cannot stop, however, is that believers are now able to directly access God, right? Whether it's through prayer, whether it's through encounter, that presence of God is no longer restricted to a room inside this building, this specific building in which people would come from all over to worship at. So what does this mean for you and I? Now, amongst the different things that happened when Jesus went to the cross and all the subsequent things that happened, we focus today on the emphasis of the separation between God and his people are no more. Jesus' sacrifice brought restoration between God and his creation. What was broken from the beginning in the Garden of Eden has now been put back together. This doesn't mean that God's not holy anymore. He still is, and we can't forget or deny that. We also cannot deny that whenever, wherever worship is happening, that place is still holy ground. Our sanctuary is still a holy place. As I mentioned to my kids, not because Two China Ken Plaza is specifically, you know, anointed, but it's because this is the place that God has given us as our home to worship. We should still take seriously our act of worship and praise and place our primary focus towards him every time we are gathering here. Our places of worship are still sacred places, not because of the place itself, but what's happening here. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." This is our holy place. It is our sanctuary where we gather with the primary intention of encountering God's presence. We do so in many different ways: worship, prayer, having fun with one another, serving together, loving on one another. But the ultimate goal here must be to encounter God and his presence. For what good is it if our relationship is restored, but we still separate ourselves from him? And this is our place to celebrate God's restoration with us. So let us treat it so. So if Cardio would like to come up, let's bow our heads. Some time ago last week, I was listening to a podcast, and they weren't talking about this, but they brought this this idea of the veil tearing and what it brought to the people of both to us as Christians and the people of Israel. You know, we typically see this as us now having access to God, that when we come to the altar, we don't need a high priest to do sacrifice for us. We don't need a high priest to pray for us, right? We could do that on our own, and we could still come, you know, we come to the altar. But this person gave a different viewpoint, right? That instead of, you know, when the veil was torn, it wasn't just our access to God being affected, but God's access to us, right? He himself is no longer stuck in this small little space. You know, tearing of the veil goes both ways. He is now free to encounter people outside, you know, not just, you know, the specific few that he may reveal himself to, but to everyone, to all who believe in him. And so, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I know we haven't talked about Thanksgiving, but in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I want us to spend a little time kind of evaluating our attitude towards the church, you know, our place of worship, our attitude towards, you know, this access that we now have with God that goes both ways, that it's not just us coming, but also God, like himself sending Jesus down to us and him coming to us, right? And so let's worship and let's pray. God, we are grateful for this chance to worship you. We are grateful for you making this access to you so much easier for our time and day, God. That this could be the first thing that we do in the morning when we open our eyes, that we can pray to you. It could be the last thing that we do on our day when we confess to you. And anytime in the middle of the day when we just want to sing praises and offerings and doing all of those things that we get to do for you, Abba, Father God. And so God, may we remember that this tearing of the veil represented our access to you. And so, Abba, Father God, may we be thankful. May we remember. And most importantly, Abba, Father God, may we continue to have that access with you. To not just let it sit on the side, but continue to meet with you throughout our days. Yeah. So we thank you, Abba, Father. Let's go to our prayer points. Let's lift up those who are going through, cancer and going through a treatment for brothers and sisters and their friends and family. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up our church's community and their friends and family who is looking for both healing from their physical illnesses as well as the word of salvation. Let's lift up our community and those who are going through non-cancer related illnesses. Let's lift up those who are searching for jobs and just ask God for his providence and for doors to open. Let's go to our mission focus for Friday. Let's lift up Peace Sophia, Jomin, and Hyunjin in Japan as they are continue with SP Tokyo. Let's also lift up Grace, our missionary Grace in Cambodia, and her business as mission that's happening down there, as well as Oasis House with our friend Pastor Jenny Oh. let's lift up our missions council as they, although travel is limited, we just ask that God will continue to speak to them, and as they lead our church in developing and putting into action our missional heart, both for the city and the surrounding areas around us. Let's lift up our local outreach. Igape, Homey, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, and SP Lights. Pray over all the different ministry leaders and the people that we're serving in these ministries. And so, cover them during this time as we're learning to, you know, continue to meet up with these folks, but at the same time also dealing with COVID here in Hong Kong. Let's lift up SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministry. As Cadence is still on maternity leave, let's pray over Belinda as well as Bernice as they're overseeing all of this right now. And even from the video this past Sunday that speaks to our congregation into being more involved, even if it's just getting to know more about the ministry and the fostering and adoption situation here in Hong Kong. So let's lift up SP Fam. Let's lift up our Friday night gatherings, IP, SPU, SP Youth, EG, and GIC. I believe EG is about to go on their retreat, so give them an extra covering over their meeting tonight. Let's pray over the house churches that are meeting today. Elements, Go House Church, McCain, MacDaddy, and Westside. Pray over as they gather that the presence of God will be at the center of each of these homes, that the Spirit is already filling up in preparation for their meeting tonight, so that everyone who gathers in these places, in these house churches tonight, would have that God encounter. finally, let's lift up our city, and specifically over COVID. It's been 3 straight days of around 80 cases, and so let's continue to pray for 0 cases. Let's pray for, you know, for those especially that are seeing these numbers rise, for the anxiety, for peace to come upon them, that God will, God's peace will bring, take away their anxiety, and that we as, you know, Hong Kongers in the city, that we are able to, you know, having the internal strength from God to continue with the restrictions and all these things, and not be in despair especially, and not feel hopeless throughout this time. So let's lift up Hong Kong. Abba Father, we thank you for giving us this place today. And so as we head on off for the rest of our days, we just pray that you continue to be with us, and that we continue to access this connection that we have with you. So we thank you. We love you in this house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a good rest of this week. Finish well, everyone. We'll see you guys on Sunday.